WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Rena Roy. In New York City, Bronx prosecutors outlined charges following last month's death of a one-year-old boy due to fentanyl exposure at a home daycare. Three other children were also treated for fentanyl exposure. The daycare owner, her husband, and tenant are facing more than 20 counts, including murder and operating a drug business. Bronx District Attorney Darcelle Clark.
We will get justice for them. And that is evidenced by the unsealing of the indictment today in court.
The daycare owner and tenant pleaded not guilty at their arraignment. House Republicans are at odds over choosing a new speaker following this week's vote to remove Kevin McCarthy. Representatives Jim Jordan, Steve Scalise, and Kevin Hearn have emerged as contenders. The U.S. military shot down a Turkish drone in northeast Syria. U.S. officials say the drone was flying erratically and came too close to U.S. troops on the ground. This is ABC News. The Maryland Supreme Court hearing new arguments over the case at the center of the first season of the podcast Serial, the murder of Baltimore teen Haemin Lee. The conviction of Adnan Syed was vacated, and prosecutors dropped all the charges after finding flaws in the evidence. But the victim's family filing an appeal, arguing they weren't given enough notice to attend the hearing. ABC News contributor Brian Buckmeyer.
Now, young Lee, the sibling of Haemin Lee, was able to participate through Zoom and see it virtually, but was not able to participate physically. But I don't think that his right should then override a defendant's right and say, well, you have to go back to prison so you can prove your innocence.
Those once critical COVID-19 vaccination cards are being phased out. The CDC stopped printing them because the federal government is no longer distributing vaccines. At the height of the pandemic, COVID vaccination cards were essential to getting into many public places. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Lake Air 1260 AM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. The suspect in an Eau Claire bank robbery was arrested in northern Wisconsin yesterday. Maxwell Lubick was taken into custody in Superior after 2 days on the run. He's accused of taking cash from Wisconsin Credit Union on Eau Claire's west side on Monday after threatening workers there. The Eau Claire Police Department said he fled on a dirt bike, which was found on a trail south of the city. The FBI is helping with the investigation. One person is dead after a rollover crash in Burnett County yesterday morning. The sheriff's office said the crash happened before 3 a.m. on Highway 35, about a mile south of Danbury. One person in the vehicle died at the scene. A second person in the vehicle had to be flown to a hospital in the Twin Cities due to their injuries. Drought conditions in Wisconsin held mostly steady from last week. 75% of the state is experiencing drought. That's down from about 80% last week. The worst drought is just south of La Crosse in the Driftless area, while parts of northern Wisconsin, including Sawyer County, are in severe drought. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the Civic Media app. pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Or view the menu at greatwallydina.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Brett here. Coming up a little bit later on, Mickey Morissette's going to join us from the Minnesota Women's Press. We're going to talk about her organization there. Been going for a long time, 1985. We'll talk about that and the struggles of keeping a print publication going right now as they're keeping out there and doing the good work. I'm glad we're going to have her on here coming up a little bit later on this show. Brett, how are we today?
I'm doing all right here. How about you?
This town feels really freaking different, doesn't it? I mean, seriously, this town feels really different because of the Twins.
Ah, guys, I was wondering if you're going there. Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Well, what did you think it was? You know,
the weather? I don't know. Yeah,
you know, Taco Tuesday was fantastic this week. You know,
the Viking Super Bowl fever.
Yeah, that's a very curable disease in this town. You know, it doesn't surprise me. We're going to let's take a good chunk of this first segment here. Just to talk about yesterday. First of all, your thoughts on, we'll just talk about the game first. Yesterday, the game two of the three-game series with Toronto. This is first-round series. Your thoughts really quick on, you know, what you saw there.
Yeah, I know what it kind of feels like to be the Yankees in those Yankees-Twins series, because that's what it felt like the Blue Jays were doing with all of their mistakes they made in that game yesterday. Just every decision they made completely backfired against them. So it's interesting. That's what it's like to be on a baseball or cheering for a baseball team that has breaks go their way.
Well, I'll make this point. The Twins never made a decision as bad as Berrios getting pulled in the fourth inning.
For sure.
I have, and that is apparently media across Canada right now is just absolutely ripping the coach of that team for the mismanagement of that squad during that series. Frankly, I would have let him go as long as he wants, because he gave up one walk to Royce Lewis doesn't mean he was done by any means. Royce Lewis is a heck of a batter. So three pitches got out of control in that at bat. Okay, fine. But you don't pull him right away. The Vladdy Guerrero catching him off base. Wow.
Give credit to Sonny Gray and Carlos Correa. They explained how that worked, too, how Gray was like signaling Correa ahead of time, we're going to do this.
If you watched MLB last night, Major League Baseball Network, because I watched the game and then I turned it on, because I am just a baseball geek. I love it. They spent basically about 45 minutes breaking down Correa's signal that I think I can get him. Watching, they had the camera in on the catcher who was clearly talking, waiting for the signal to go and setting it up. And then Vladdy or the third base coach not noticing that Correa had taken four steps before he turned and tried to dive back to second base. And, you know, he is just not as fast of a runner to get that big of a lead. And as the one guy on Major League Baseball Network made the point, he goes, you're on second and third. A single's going to score you no matter what. You've got two outs. A single's going to score you no matter what. You do not have to have a big lead. That's just, as he described it, that was a little league mistake, which I got to imagine Vladimir Guerrero is I all of a sudden realized, we kind of refer to him the same way. That Vladdy, I got to imagine that is not going over well with him. I will also, who was it that threw the ball that got hit in the double play that got rid of the runners and the bases loaded?
Was
that Thielbar?
I think he was pitching at that point, yes.
First pitch he throws, guy fouls it by 1 foot, and that was trouble. do not underestimate how important it is to have a guy who's 36 years old in that bullpen who knows how to throw a pitch that's going to end up on the ground, because that's what that was. And in it was close. I mean, that guy was flying down first baseline, but they got them both. That was both legit. That's what the problem was. Every bounce that could go the Yankees' way all those years went the Yankees' way. And even some that didn't. There were multiple calls in those Yankee series which were wrong before in the age of a major expanded instant replay that would have easily been overturned. But, you know, baseball likes their New York teams in the playoffs. Let's just
Back to that game where Joe Mauer hit that double by like 2 feet and they said it was foul in extra innings a couple of years ago.
The ball that they called fair? I mean, they did overturn that one. The ball they called fair that was foul by a foot for the Yankees. I mean, every time the Twins played a team in the last 0-18 stretch, it just seemed like every time a bounce went someone's way, it just went against theirs. You know, I remember in one of those games, one of our hitters, and gosh, this must have been, I think, late 2000s. I think it was. Hit the ball, went off the pitcher's mound, and for some reason careened sideways right into the shortstop's glove. And easy throw out. I mean, a thousand times from Sunday, that ball's going in a million different directions and people are scrambling after the ball. Yeah. The guy in the outfield that threw the ball about 20 feet over the third baseman's head, you know, that's, you know, stuff like that. You know, very preventable errors. Just it's just remarkable to me that this happened. But that the difference was, is that team looked determined. That team looked good. They looked like they could win. And granted, all right, I'll bite. Houston, that's going to be a bit of a challenge. Baltimore, if they get past the Texas Rangers, will be even a bigger challenge. And more than likely, the Atlanta Braves are going to be sitting there waiting for you for a rematch in the 91 series if you get that far. And that is, you are talking one of the greatest, best baseball teams that's been put together in the last, God, how many years? I mean, 20 years? I mean, it's probably since some of those Red Sox teams with Ortiz that won the series. Now, I know you're, by the way, if you're listening, it's like, aren't you the political station? Yeah, but this is this town. And this town, there's a truth that this city has to come to grips with. It's as weird as this is, it's not a football town. It's not a hockey town. Although I would say, if God, you know, God willing, at some point, either one of those teams made a real deep run into the playoffs, this town would flip in a heartbeat. But at its core, because of the history of this town is a baseball town. Might have been a basketball town at the time of the Lakers, but it's a baseball town now. And it's almost like after, you know, what, 32 years in the 91 series, where, you got done with the World Series in 91. This town was definitively a baseball town. And, you know, granted, I mean, the leagues were run differently back then, but, you know, it's a knowledgeable base. They know their teams. They like their teams. And that's what you saw at Target Field the last 2 days. The numbers, apparently, for watching the games are off the freaking charts. As a matter of fact, I think that's one of the reasons why the Twins-Astros game on Saturday, it's a 3:45 game, I believe it is. So we've got the late afternoon game, which is that's kind of prime time on Saturday. And then we got the 7 o'clock Sunday night game. We got the prime time game go up against, you know, Sunday night football for Major League Baseball. I think that part of that reason why is the numbers in this town were outstanding for watching that series. And of all the teams that are left, the team that's got the most buzz is the Twins. They're fun. They're exciting. This is enjoyable. But it just, this town has been mistreated by its sports teams for so long. And we can, of course, make the exception for the Minnesota Lynx. We can make the exception for the Golden Gopher Hockey Squad. Squads. But the reality is that it's this close but no cigar mentality that it's permeated the Minnesota United. It's permeated Gopher Volleyball. It's everywhere. And, you know, it is such a relief to see and have faith in something enjoyable. Yes, it is parsley on the plate of life. I'm not changing this. This is not like I'm, you know, we need to go out and spend $1 billion to build a new baseball stadium. No, I'm not saying that at all. But this town feels very different all of a sudden. Like it did back when we were, you know, we were kind of at times the dominant squad. I remember, I mean, kind of was similar to in the early 2000s. There was a swagger in this town with the Twins. There was a bit of swagger. Now, that was the last time we won a series, which was the A series, which actually is, what's that movie with Brad Pitt where he plays?
Oh, Moneyball.
Moneyball. That's actually portrayed. That series is actually portrayed in that movie at the end of it. But at the same time, it's kind of one of those things where that team had some swagger, had some there, but still just never could get past that point. And we just kept saying, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Meanwhile, you basically have people selling children to be Vikings fans in this town. And, you know, it's, I sold a kid for this, you know, that sort of thing. This state is a hockey state. It just is. Does anyone really have any faith that the Wild are going to do anything this year? Come on. They're not. No one thinks they are. They're already making excuses with the payroll. Like, oh, you know, we really got some. No one cares. They're basically, you know, I'd be surprised if the next 2 years they even make the playoffs. And if they do, they'll get wiped out in the first round because that's just what they do. No, it feels like, hey, wait a second here. We're not losers. We're not the lovable loser. Well, we'll win them next time. We're not that anymore. We actually could win a series. And I'd say there's a decent chance. Now watch us get swept. There's a decent chance we could beat the series with Houston.
Oh, I think so. And I think Baltimore and Texas are beatable too on the other side. I mean, yeah. Baltimore, I don't think they have enough pitching to beat the Twins. So
you want my gutsy prediction? You want a gutsy prediction?
Oh, what do you got?
So yesterday, if you missed it, the Milwaukee Brewers, who I enjoy that team. I was in Beloit. I was with the Beloit Brewers, which are the Beloit Terrapins now, which are the A-ball team for Milwaukee. And so I kind of like Milwaukee, but God, it was hard to watch them get beat as badly as they did by Arizona, who came back, I believe, in both of those games to take those games. And so Arizona is going to play Atlanta.
Actually, they're doing the Dodgers.
Oh, do they have the Dodgers?
Yeah, the Phillies are playing Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Could I see Arizona somehow making a run in this? I could. Anyway, we generally won't talk too much sports, but this is kind of because we've forgotten what it feels like to say, you know what? We're not the lovable losers. We're not the team that's always the bridesmaid. We actually have won World Series championships. We just won a series, although the doom and gloom naysayers are always, well, you won a first-round three-game home series. What's the big deal there? Well, they look pretty dang stoppable. But what really feels good is optimism. And I guess because we as a society, and I think all of us as a society, have a bad habit of putting sports as a way too much of a priority in our lives. I don't know if you can change that. I mean, it's the amount of marketing and, you know, you've got to bleed purple. You've got, you know, really that sort of thing. But the reality is that this is a strange feeling in this town. And once again, this is no slight to the Lynx. This is no slight to the Gopher hockey team. But this is, of the big four, this is one of them. And right now, Minnesota, who was basically ignored as these playoffs started, all of a sudden have a lot of people's attention, including a lot of people in town. So as much as certain media outlets are going to be screaming, this is a football town. No, this is a baseball town. And until football can go out there and show us they have a chance at doing something, yeah, Twins have two World Series in the last 50 years. How many Super Bowls would the Vikings have? Oh, that's right, zero.
We'll have one after 2024.
Oh, will they? Will they? Really? I tell you what, we're going to make a bet here during the commercial break.
Oh, then I'm panting.
Okay, you're panting.
My prediction.
I found you and Broadcorp and Patrick, one of the best t-shirts. I got them ordered. They're coming. I'm going to have you put it on. We're going to put it on camera when they get here. I'm not going to say who they are, but they are for Vikings. They're for the Vikings, guys. I've got a shirt. We'll show that to them when they get here.
I remember that Coolican visit on Tuesday. Yeah, I'll have to put that on. Yeah.
Damn right you will.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. Come on back. Done with the Twins because they're not playing today. They got to play on Saturday. So we're done talking about them. Plus, I got to admit, I'm kind of happy. I don't have to have the game reflected on this glass in front of me because it's kind of hard to do a radio show when you got that going on. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Some pretty major breaking news when we come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Are you ready to embark on a journey towards taking control of your health and well-being? I'm Candy Broffel, host of Green Tea Conversations. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I sit down with the local experts who are bridging the gap between mainstream medicine and complementary therapies. Each week, we explore topics in integrative medicine, nutrition, fitness, creative expression, personal growth, and sustainable living. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Hey, it's Tom. Since 2009, All Energy Solar has been providing solar energy solutions to customers. With fully licensed electricians and installers, you can be sure that your solar installation will go smoothly. The team at All Energy Solar understands that every customer is unique. They'll take the time to survey and understand your property to find a solar solution that works for you. One of the biggest advantages of going solar is the opportunity to take advantage of the many solar incentives available. But it can often be confusing to know what you're qualified for. All Energy Solar professionals will help you find out what savings you can apply for and even help with your applications. This is especially important since many rebate programs have limited capacity and are first come, first serve. So it's important to have a professional on your side who will make sure you get every eligible rebate. Get a free no obligation assessment from All Energy Solar's commercial solar specialists by calling 800-620-3370 or visit allenergysolar.com.
Hi, I'm Rachel Shamblatt. My dad is Dr. Scott Shamblatt from Shamblatt Family Dentistry. A lot of people are afraid of the dentist, but you don't have to be. My dad makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun. He won't be mad if you haven't seen a dentist in a long time. He just wants to take care of you and your teeth. If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Shamblatt Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ShamblattFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Hi, I'm Kelly Kirk.
I'm Chad Larson.
And I'm Joe Kirk.
Your hosts for Searching for Service. Tune in to Rotary's influential show and podcast, sharing touching stories of service locally and abroad.
We bring you weekly guests that connect, inform, and inspire our listeners on all things service.
We highlight diverse service opportunities that appeal to both Rotarians and people driven to serve in their communities.
Tune in Sundays at 3 p.m. or anytime via podcast. It's time
to stop searching
and start serving.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Winston Smith Jr., of course, there was a lot of people, including myself, who were very critical of the police in that. Mainly, and if you go back and listen to these shows that we did, we were very critical about the fact that they didn't have body cameras on. And This was an encounter that happened, I believe, on the old, it was the old Calhoun Square parking garage, correct? If I remember correctly. And this is, of course, happened, this confrontation where Smith ended up dead happened June 3rd, 2021. So we were a year after George Floyd, and I thought it was relatively inexcusable. And the point I made back then is we don't know what really happened because we got no video footage of it. And it led to protests in Uptown. It led to, a lot of conflict, a lot of lack of trust in the police because there wasn't any body cam footage. What we now discovered is, because a video forensics expert has now looked at his phone and indeed found a video that he made as he was shot. And it does tell a very kind of different story than the narrative a lot of people wanted to be true. Let me read through this. In the last seconds of his life, Winston Smith Jr. started filming. From the driver's seat of the parked Maserati, 32-year-old Smith recorded on his cell phone as members of the U.S. Marshals Service Fugitive Task Force surrounded his car, thumped on the windows, according to sources familiar with the video's contents. Smith ignored his passengers as he pleaded for him to go with the agents. Just shoot, he said, according to the sources. And after a brief pause, he pulled a handgun from the vehicle's center console and began to raise it. At that point, gunfire and broken glass filled the car. Now, I was critical that the police did not have body camera footage on at that time. I was also critical of saying, okay, wait a minute here. You had a chance to get it. I think he was in Stella's Fish House at that point. If I remember correctly, he was having dinner across the street. And I said, okay, you didn't grab him then. You had the chance to grab him then. But you remember, then we found out afterwards that this task force, I think, was looking for someone else, couldn't find that individual. And so said, oh, well, here's this other guy, and we'll go get him, if I remember correctly. But from what is described on this video, and this is Andy Mannix's, and the exceptional Andy Mannix, we are lucky to have him here in town, the Andy Mannix column in the Star Tribune, and I have zero doubt to trust it, it does not sound like the police did not fire without justification. And I don't know if you want to call that suicide by police or what, but they were knocking on the door. He raised a gun, and basically they opened fire. The 35-second video of the fatal June 3rd, 2021 encounter, which would remain undiscovered for more than 2 years, could have been a critical piece of evidence in the direct aftermath, as conflicting accounts of what precipitated the shooting fueled claims from protesters that Smith was assassinated. Did Smith pull a gun, or is he just raising his phone? Did the undercover task force announce itself? There was no body cam or dash cam coverage to answer those questions, which, once again, how is it even possible a year after George Floyd you did not have every camera on you could possibly have, especially in situations like this? Come on. The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the agency in charge of investigating law enforcement shootings in Minnesota, said it wasn't aware of any video and instead turned to the public for help finding the footage. Though the BCA took possession of Smith's phone after his death and the government had possessed it since, sources say the state agency never found the video Smith had recorded. Now, 2 years after the BCA closed the investigation, sources say Mark Lanterman, a private forensics expert hired as part of the civil case, has recovered the footage. Lanterman declined to comment. The video has still not been released or even acknowledged to the public. The Star Tribune has not seen the footage, but sources who weren't authorized to speak publicly described its contents. The BCA did not immediately agree to request for an interview Thursday, and a statement spokesperson Bonnie Bauman said of the disclosure, if someone has additional evidence relevant to the investigation, we would appreciate it if they could contact us directly to provide us with the evidence. When reached for comment on Thursday, Jeff Storms, the attorney representing the trustee for the Smith family, declined to discuss the video. I'm not going to address the contents of any video that is the subject of this article, but I will say is that transparency is so critical to justice, accountability, and the healing of families. Storms reiterated that his disappointment that the task force agents were not wearing body cameras to capture the encounter. We aggressively pursued all possible video evidence that could exist that would shed light on the killing of Winston Smith, he said. An attorney for Noreen Askar, the passenger in Smith's car, declined to comment as well. Smith's death came at a turbulent moment in Minneapolis. 7 weeks earlier, a jury had found former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin guilty of murdering George Floyd. Chauvin's trial was streamed live across the world. A Brooklyn Center officer shot and killed Dante Wright, another black man, at a traffic stop, reigniting a week of unrest that led to state leaders to call in the National Guard. It was just a week after the one-year anniversary of Floyd's killing when the agent shot Smith in the middle of the afternoon. Smith was wanted on a warrant for skipping a sentencing hearing that he pleaded guilty to illegal firearm possession. On May 24th, the mother of his then 7-year-old daughter reported his location to Minneapolis police and said he was armed. She later told the Star Tribune that she exaggerated the danger Smith posed to get police to show up faster, but they never arrived. On June 3rd, a sheriff's deputy monitoring Smith's social media account saw him post a lunch date at Stella's Fish Cafe in Lake Street. The U.S. Marshal Service North Star Violent Offender Task Force agents surveilled Smith as he finished his meal and rode the elevator to the top of the parking ramp. Once again, plenty of time to take him down at that point. They didn't. When he got into the Maserati, the agents boxed in with the other vehicles. The confrontation lasted only a few moments. When it ended, Smith would be pronounced dead on the scene. There is no video of the shooting quickly created problems for the marshals. The two agents who fired the fatal shots were deputies from Ramsey County and Hennepin County Sheriff's Departments, but the federal task force didn't permit the use of body cameras. Sheriffs in Ramsey, Hennepin, and Anoka counties all temporarily pulled their agents from the task force until the marshal service updated its policy. Some protesters, and by the way, give credit to, I think that that was one of those things where I can't believe Ramsey, Hennepin, Anoka County were like, okay, wait a minute, what? We can't have body cams on? Because now all of a sudden our deputies look like the bad guys here because we don't have this footage. Protesters said they didn't believe in the marshal's claim that Smith had a gun, pointing it out that Minneapolis police spokesman had initially called Floyd's killing a medical incident. And yeah, no, Minneapolis police lied their asses off about George Floyd. Lied and lied and lied again. And then Bob Kroll kept, when that letter he sent to the staff goes, you know, those officers all deserve their job back. Really? Really? Paraphrasing, but that's kind of what it was. Skeptics of the law enforcement version closed uptown streets during rush hour, rallied outside the home of Ramona Doman, then head of the U.S. Marshal Service in Minnesota, demanding her resign. Rioters set dumpsters ablaze, looted shops, leading to dozens of arrests as civil rights leaders call for the release of any video that could offer an objective viewing of the shooting. A drunk driver crashed into a crowd of protesters and killed a woman that was down there. July 2021, Smith's passenger Askar said in a news conference, the agents never identified themselves as law enforcement. Though investigators recovered a handgun and cartridges fired by Smith, Askar said she only saw Smith holding a phone, which she presumed he was using during the to record the agents. Askar filed a lawsuit asking the task force agents violated her civil rights by placing her in an unneeded danger. Crow Wing County Attorney Donald F. Ryan, who evaluated the BCA's case file, ruled in October 2021 that shooting was justified. His office would not file charges against the agents. Smith's family hired civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump and asked for an independent investigation in the case. This summer, the lawyers for Smith's family asked or requested that the private analysis examine the phone one more time to find out evidence leading to the video's discovery. Now, I tell you what I'm going to do because I'm running a little late here. Let me take a break. When I come back, I'm going to read again what has been described to Andy Mannix is on this video. And I want to take a moment to step back and kind of talk a little bit about this. All right? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
From chasing fall colors on a scenic road trip to epic hikes, fall festivals, apple orchards, or long hours on a patio, fall in Minnesota offers clear blue skies,
an endless tapestry of color and unmatched beauty, perfect for setting the stage for any colorful adventure. Plan your dream trip at exploreminnesota.com. Sponsored by Explore Minnesota, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about the joy of live fire cooking. Cooking over a live fire is the oldest and most basic form of cooking.
What's new is in the way a fire is handled and its heat is managed.
It's easier to experience and enjoy the smell and taste of food cooked over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs live fire grills, fire pits, and ovens. Let us help you experience the smell, the taste, the fun of cooking with fire.
Pizza was first made and is still best made in an open fire oven. The radiant and conductive heat of a live fire is unmatched for wood roasting and baking artisan breads too.
Come see the many ways you can cook over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Since when are houses disposable?
I know. About half of what's in landfills are building materials that could be reused or recycled.
For the sake of the environment, this has got to stop.
There is money available to help Hennepin County residents and their contractors do the right thing. Reuse and recycle the building materials. You could earn $400 per ton for materials saved on a partial deconstruction of your next remodeling project, and up to $9,000 for a full deconstruction in Hennepin County.
Fixtures and cabinets?
All the way down to stair treads and 2x4s.
Flooring?
We floor you all day long, sister. Materials are sold at Better Futures Reuse Warehouse at 2620 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis.
Don't demolish, deconstruct. Do the right thing, get money back. You nailed it, brother.
That's denailed it. Wouldn't want to poke an eye out.
Check out BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. That's BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. And don't forget to shop the Reuse Warehouse.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies today with a high near 61. Tonight cloudy with a low around 42. And Friday rain with a high near 51.
Discover authentic Sichuan and Mandarin cuisine at the Great Wall Restaurant. Enjoy favorites like hot and sour soup, sesame chicken, and Peking duck. Conveniently located just south of 50th and France and Edina. Order takeout by calling 952-927-4439 or view the menu at greatwalledina.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. So once again, supposedly a video footage has now been discovered in the case of Winston Smith. That this is video from his cell phone. And I have to admit, I when you hear this, part of me almost kind of wonders, how did they not, when you hear the story, how did they not find this video footage? And it almost, you know, was did his girlfriend at the time delete the footage and try to get rid of it at that point? I mean, reminder, if what is on this video is true, then the girlfriend, it doesn't sound like she's been necessarily honest about what exactly happened. Here is, once again, what has been described. From the driver's seat of the parked Maserati, 32-year-old Smith recorded on his cell phone as members of the U.S. Marshals Service Fugitive Task Force surrounded the car, thumped on the windows, according to sources familiar with the video's contents. Smith ignored his passenger as she pleaded with him to go with the agents. "Just shoot," he said, according to some sources. And after a brief pause, he pulled a handgun from the vehicle's center console and began to raise it. The gunfire broke out. Glass filled the car. 35-second video of the fatal June 3rd, 2021 encounter. If that's true, there's just something we have to come to grips with, and that is this, is that there are a lot of people who, and I'm not saying this is what, without, you know, cause per se, automatically presume that the police are lying. Automatically presume the police are not telling the truth. Automatically believe the police are trying to hide something. And a lot of that has to come with the fact that the police did indeed try to do this, and they did this multiple times. Let's just look at George Floyd. They were lying to our face as this video. Do you remember when they said that 9.5 video minute video, that's a lie? What? That's not telling the truth. You have to ignore the 9.5 minute video and just take the police officer's word. How about Jahleel Stallings? We've been talking about him because one of the officers, Battelle, who basically lied his ass off and beat Jahleel Stallings in the streets after they opened fire on him unannounced, without provocation, mind you. They basically, they lied and lied and lied and lied. And kept saying he was trying to murder cops when it was the other way around. The cops were trying to murder him. And he basically did all he could to defend himself. And when he found out they were cops, he stopped shooting, threw his gun down, surrendered only to get beaten in the streets of Minneapolis and be accused and have his life turned upside down for years as the police, who knew he had done nothing wrong, kept insisting that he was guilty of the crime. So before anyone comes on out there and say, see, you guys on the left who think to yourself the cops are always wrong, you need to check yourself. No. You need to check yourself because there's plenty of evidence that the police have been wrong in this town for sure. I mean, for God's sakes, Dante Wright. I thought I had my taser when I shot him with a gun. But the reality is this, is that if this video is accurate, the police officers on the scene told the truth. Now, we can criticize the lack of body cams, the lack of dash cams. We can clearly criticize, why didn't you just arrest him in Stella's? Or in the elevator, as he was coming out of the elevator at the parking ground. Why did you wait for him to get in the car, which would seem to me to be a far more difficult arrest anyway? You know, if he tries to get on the elevator, I mean, you have officers basically on all floors. He can't get anywhere. We're done. But if this video is true, those deputies told the truth. They were there. They were trying to make the arrest, a legit arrest. And he threatened them with a gun. And they didn't have really any other option. Now, we also can criticize the fact that a police officer shooting into a car with other people in there who they're not trying to arrest, a la Philando Castile, is kind of a little bit uncouth. But this is resonating with me right now because I am not a journalist. I want to make sure we understand that. I am not a journalist. Occasionally, this little crap fest of a howler monkey exhibit stumbles upon a news story. We were on the air back in 2018 when a caller called out of the blue to talk about how Doug Wardlow was, as the caller said, the biggest bully in his high school and was a chronic bully by the sounds of it. And the first thing I said to myself is, you need to talk to a journalist because I'm not a journalist, but I'm also a person who people come to with information because I do talk about the news and I do talk about the news from a certain point of view. I don't regret anything I said in the Winston Smith Jr. case when it was back there, because my points were this: I can remember myself, why didn't you have any cameras going? Why? And I remember saying, you guys could be telling the truth, but this town's not going to believe it. There's a shooting up in Granite Falls. When the shooting was reported, there are a few things about it which, as the story reported, and this was apparently from police accounts seemed a little bit odd and less than explanatory. The first thing was they said it appeared to have a gun in his waistband. Appeared or had? Because those are two things that are two very different words. The other thing was they shot him. And he was fleeing and he shot him. And I said, okay, wait a second here. When we first talked about the Granite Falls shooting, the first thing I said was, okay, if he had a gun, turned, aimed it at police, police had the right to shoot him. That's they have to defend themselves. But is that what happened, or did they do something they're not supposed to do, which is shoot him for convenience? I want to explain something because we are such a militarized police and gun-heavy society. No, much like police when they're chasing a car thief, and that car thief starts driving at incredibly erratic rates of speed, will pull their vehicles off that car because they don't want that to be the cause of any damage. Police officers with a gun do not fire a gun unless people are about to die or are going to be threatened with violence. What you don't do is you don't just shoot somebody because I'm out of breath. All right, I tell you what, shoot him. Let's get him, take him in. That's not police work. That's mob rule mentality. And any police officer that thinks shooting a fleeing suspect is how you stop them should never have a badge in their life. Once again, someone fleeing, not a threat to the police, running away. Well, the next time, you know, work on your cardio and try to track him down in a place where he's basically not going to be able to sprint away. What you don't do is just start randomly firing shots off. And that is my question about this Granite Falls case, which is, how was he shot? I posted this story from the weekend, and I immediately had someone post. Now, the police have said that there's no dash cam footage. The body cameras were off. There's no dash cam footage. But I've said, okay, well, if we can't have the dash cam footage, how was the guy shot? Was he shot in the back? Was he shot in the back with distance? Someone posted a video, which is supposedly of the situation. And I asked if this was legit, and I'm just going to say this. I need to hand this off to a journalist at this point. I need to hand this off to a journalist. Cooligan, you need to freaking call me, man. I don't want to say anything about the individual I've been talking with, but this individual was there. And he says he was shot from behind. The bullet went out his neck. He was shot with an AR-15 from distance. That, if true, that's not how police work works. So some of this individual says, to his knowledge, this guy did not have a gun. To his knowledge, this guy had a gun. A secondary report on the Granite Falls shooting said a gun and drugs were recovered at the scene, but there was a car that he was in. There was, of course, the cemetery. It's not like they said they discovered a gun and drugs on the suspect. They said they were discovered on the scene. Well, that can mean a lot of different things. This individual says the suspect in this case did not have a gun on him. And the implication is this guy was shot because he was running faster than the cops and they didn't like basically having to run after him. I don't know. That's the case. Like I said, I'm not a journalist. My job is to ask questions. That's why I criticized the police force in the Winston Smith Jr. case? Because how do you not have video footage after George Floyd? How does any officer operate in this town without video footage ongoing 24/7? And in this case, my point was even more prophetic for the police departments, for policing units, because if this video that they now have of this case is true, it would have saved their deputies a lot of grief. Probably would have stopped a lot of protesting. Considering that one woman was killed by the guy, the drunk driver that drove into the barricade, there's a decent chance that person could be alive. It's closure if we can get some actual video footage of what happened with Winston Smith till we know what happened in the car at the time of his death. But you see, this is where we're at in this city, in this state. Regardless of whether police departments like this or not, I don't care if they're undercover units. I don't care if they're there. You got to have body cam footage on. Because right now I'm hearing stories about this shooting in Granite Falls, which make me really question the police. But the reality is we can't know until we get video footage. So this day and age that the police departments want to take us back to, where, let me tell you about what really happened, those are over. And the reality is this. If you have an undercover police officer who pulls their weapon and fires it, an AR-15, by the way, what the hell? If that's true, yee. If you have an undercover officer who pull their weapon and shoot, well, if the video footage basically exposes who they are, well, then guess what? They probably shouldn't be undercover anymore anyway because they fired their weapon and shot somebody. I understand you might say, well, I don't have a lot of officers in these rural communities to basically drop them left and right if they have to, switch them out. Well, the reality is that that's probably the case. But until we actually have police take this serious, and even when shootings don't go their way, quickly release the body cam footage to show the people what happened. Well, I think one of the things we've learned is if this video with the Winston Smith shooting is true, well, then it would have changed a heck of a lot of things if we would have seen that from the get-go, especially if it would have come from the body cams of the sheriff's deputies. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The world has changed, our economy has changed, and now, more than ever, it's important that your retirement savings is set up to generate income, real money, in your bank account month after month while still controlling your principal. And that's what we do. We're Ferguson Financial. We set up people for retirement income. Call us today, 888-429-5569, and check out our retirement income program, Sunday mornings at 9.
My grandpa Jim Warner treated his customers like family, and Warner Stellion is still doing that today. I'm Angela Warner, and to thank you for 69 years, Warner Stellion Appliance is offering unbeatable savings of up to 40% off, free dishwasher installation, and no interest for 2 years with your Warner's card. Plus, go to WarnerStellion.com for an exclusive $50 coupon. These deals end October 18th, so hurry into one of our 10 Minnesota stores. You'll love your new appliances and Warner Stellion.
Bet you didn't know that 2,300 people in Minnesota are currently waiting for a life-saving transplant. Check your driver's license to see if you're a registered donor. It's an easy way to help others. One donor can save and heal more than 75 lives. Ready to register and don't know how? Check the box on your ID at the DMV or skip the lines and register online today at life-source.org. That's life-source.org. Sponsored by LifeSource, this station, and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association.
Hi, this is Gina. Matthew, I will not read this next line.
I'll be your snookum wookums.
Fine. My husband is the sexiest radio host in Minnesota, Matt McNeil.
Dang straight.
When it came time to replace my vehicle, I wanted an option that was safe in the environment. I wanted a hybrid. My RAV4 hybrid is a greener vehicle without sacrificing style and comfort. I love my Toyota hybrid.
Toyota hybrids are incredibly fuel efficient. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. The, turning attention here, very different direction here. Tom Emmer has said he wants to be the House Majority Leader, which is the second in command next to the Speaker of the House. Fewer than 24 hours into his bid for the U.S. Majority Leader, and he wants to be the Majority Leader behind Steve Scalise. He apparently faces stiff headwinds, according to Time Magazine. A group of Donald Trump's congressional and media allies have begun plotting to derail his candidacy. Citing multiple sources familiar with the matter, the magazine reports that Emmer's problems stem from the perception that he's insufficiently loyal to Trump, a one-time game show host who now serves a single term as a president. Emmer voted to certify Joe Biden's 2020 election as the head of the National Republican Congressional Committee. This is just delicious. You guys can't help yourself. You just basically went to the bathroom in your pants on national television the other day, creating massive chaos. And here you are saying, I bet I could do it even more. You guys can't stop yourself on the right. Emmer voted to certify Biden's 2020 election, the head of the National Republican Congressional Committee in 2022. He reportedly implored Republican candidates in the midterms to distance themselves from Trump, and he's been telling GOP donors that he won't support Trump's 2024 presidential primary campaign. Emmer, whose district includes St. Cloud in the West and the Twin Cities exurbs like Andover and Ramsey, is currently a majority whip. His candidacy has come to light following McCarthy's demise as the House Speaker. Emmer has endorsed Steve Scalise as the current majority leader to be speaker. Now, I will say something, and I thought this was exceptional analysis from Stein yesterday, which was that they're really the difference between the Jim Jordan camp and the Steve Scalise camp is that Jim Jordan is going basically guaranteeing that Ukraine won't get any more military aid from the United States, whereas Steve Scalise believes that there should be military aid for Ukraine. And I want to make sure you understand, this is a minority point of view. This is something that, I mean, clearly the Russians, I think, have bought off a bunch of these Republicans. I mean, I think that that's the case. But if you look at the numbers, the reality is that, what was it, 64% of Americans think Russia is our enemy? Which, once again, if you're a Republican, you can realize a dead duck of a stance from a mile away. And so I guess they think to themselves that they can spend the next year convincing Americans that Russians who are slaughtering Ukrainians are really our allies. I think Mitt Romney said it best, actually, when he said, we have Ukraine, by us funding Ukraine, Ukraine is basically dismantling our biggest enemy's military. And they are. I mean, it's desperate. This is, I think, one of the reasons why there's this big push. I think Putin knows that he's having a real big problem with his military there. So he's really putting some, his boot down on the necks of the Republicans who he's bought and paid for to basically get this thing killed. So Steve Scalise is the guy that's a little bit more, no, we need to help Ukraine. And that's why there's people turning on him. Needless to say, I don't necessarily think you're going to get an easy solution. I think we're looking at it's going to be another 4 or 5 day voting purge before they finally come together and realize, well, we better go with someone else. But it should be noted, Donald Trump is indeed going to be going to the U.S. House to try to convince the Republicans to place him as Speaker of the House, which apparently by their own rules he can't do because he's got criminal indictments. But, Do I think even moderate Republicans that don't like Trump would vote against him? Probably not. Probably not. Hour two. That's coming up next.
There really is no place like home.
Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Home Health. When you're faced with an illness or an injury, being able to stay at home and receive care is important. Our home health offers a wide range of services, including skilled nursing, physical, occupational, and speech therapies, AIDS, homemakers, in-home respite care, and 24/7 live-in care. We'll work closely with your primary care provider to come up with an individualized plan for you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
Hi, it's Matt McNeil. Listen to The Matt McNeil Show from 3 until 5 weekday afternoons right here on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950, KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
The ruling on the field stands. You can register as an organ donor regardless of your age or health. Even people with conditions like diabetes.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.